You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Mercy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Right, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello everyone and a very warm welcome along to The Punt Podcast here with William Hill. Good to have your company for the midweek edition, and we've got Premier League football to look forward to as well, with two games tonight. Recording this on Tuesday at midday, and a couple of games tomorrow night as well, with the big game at Old Trafford, Manchester United taking on Manchester City. Dave Kellner here in the studio, joined by Sam Norris, who's sitting opposite me. Sam Norris, how are you, first of all, sir?
I'm very well, Dave. Yourself?
I'm very well. I'm looking forward to the midweek football. It's good to have top quality action. We seem to have top quality action every single day at the moment with the Champions League, the Europa League and the Premier League, these fixtures that have just been put back or put forward or moved because of cup football. I'm happy about all the good sport we've got at the moment.
Yeah, some absolutely crucial games in hand for quite a few teams. Obviously, we're dealing with the FA Cup semi-finalists, if you like, and the games that they've got outstanding, and some massive points to play for coming up this week. In particular, the battle for the final two Champions League spots is of crucial importance through the course of these midweek games.
Let's start with the televised game this evening, Spurs versus Brighton. Spurs are 27-100 to win the game. The draw 9-2 with Brighton, and the betting at 11-1. The enhanced odds on the William Hill website and on the app, we've got loads of them. Let's just pick out a couple that could be of interest. Tottenham to win both halves, 2-1 out to 5-2, looks good. Son Heung-min to score two or more in the match was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1. I thought Spurs put in a decent performance at the weekend against City. There could have been that Champions League hangover, but there wasn't. And they were only beaten 1-0 and had chances getting in behind Manchester City in that game. And the top four, obviously, well within their compass, especially with the results at the weekend. Manchester United and Arsenal both suffering defeats. And Chelsea held at home against Burnley as well on Monday night. And they've won all three of their home games in all competitions since moving to their new stadium, Spurs, scoring 7 goals and conceding none. And maybe the most important factor in this is they're playing Brighton, who have just been absolutely dismal recently. They've failed to score in their last 5 Premier League games. Straightforward 3 points for Spurs.
I mean, what an opportunity this is for Spurs to extend that winning sequence in the new stadium of winning 2-0. At home in their new ground. As you say, you couldn't have dreamt for a more ideal candidate for Spurs to be playing tonight to try and keep that run going, because you just don't know where Brighton's next goal is going to come from. They've gone 6 games now in all competition without scoring, haven't scored in the Premier League since early March. Watched Brighton for 90 minutes over the course of the weekend, didn't have a shot on target against Wolves on Saturday, only touched the ball twice in Wolves' box as well. They faced 20-odd shots from Wolves, conceded 14 corners and had only 30% of the possession. They have to go down as lucky to get a point over the course of the weekend. They look like they've checked out Brighton. And it was interesting, because I watched Brighton for 90 minutes of the weekend, then I watched Cardiff for 90 minutes at the weekend, and I was way more impressed with Cardiff's performance. I suppose the problem is points win prizes, and although I was more impressed with Cardiff, they got 0 points for their 2-0 defeat at Liverpool. Yeah. Brighton picked up a point, which is all important, but the fact that they didn't go for it at all, really, away at Wolves, I don't see why they're going to go for it away against Spurs. They've got a really tough run in, and I imagine that Newcastle United game at home at the Amex next week has got a big red circle around it on the calendar in the dressing room in Brighton. They will be targeting that as the opportunity to get 3 points, which would probably, in their mind, see them safe if they can pick up one more win, because after that, they go away to Arsenal, and then they host Manchester City on the final day of the season. and I'm certain that the title race won't have been decided by then. So that Newcastle game at home is going to be at the absolute forefront of their mind here. And I think it'll be a very similar blueprint on Tuesday night as what they put out on Saturday, where they will just try and dig in for straight Spurs, play for a 0-0, which worked on Saturday. It seems unlikely, though, that Spurs, with that little bit more bite in attack compared to Wolves, are going to succumb the same fate as Wolves did and fail to score here. This looks an unbelievably good opportunity for Spurs to win and win to nil. Again, 17-20 looks just fine on Spurs to win to nil. Brighton have also got a pretty dismal record against the Big Six sides going away from home. They've lost all 10 against the Big Six, scoring just twice. Anthony Knockaert is a big miss for Brighton as well. I think he's a real creative flair, and he's one of the few players that has stood out for Brighton this season. He leads them in assists this year.
Yeah.
And with him missing, they're going to create even less than they have done in recent weeks, and they've not created a great deal with or without him in recent times. So just looks a very good opportunity for Spurs. They've obviously got the Champions League semi-final to come obviously next week against Ajax. They've got to play West Ham in between. They haven't really got a big enough squad to make wholesale changes, Spurs. It's been well documented they haven't signed anyone for two transfer windows, and as a result, the squad isn't massive. So even if they wanted to make wholesale changes, they can't really afford to do so. And to be fair to Maurizio Pochettino, I've been on the punt many a time this season looking ahead to Spurs League Cup games. He's never at any stage this season been a serial rotator, even against, you know, low league opposition in the League Cup. He put out good sides against Barnsley and the like. So even with that Ajax game coming up next week, I don't think there'll be masses amounts of changes here. I just don't think that's how Pochettino operates, and I'm not sure he's got the squad to do so either.
Yeah, and I think if he was going to make changes, it would be for next week's fixture
against West Ham,
rather than this midweek clash against Brighton. And what impresses me against Spurs is how they deal with their injuries. Harry Kane, obviously, a big loss for Spurs, but Son Heung-min and Lucas Moura really step up and they enjoy the limelight when Harry Kane is unavailable. Lucas Moura got a hat-trick in his last Premier League home game. That was that 4-0 win against Huddersfield. He'd only scored 3 in his previous 14 at home in all competitions. So Lucas Moura, even money to score any time, and he's 11-2 to score 2 or more. I do think Tottenham are going to win this one convincingly. I like that win to nil bet. That was as big as 19-20 yesterday. It's right into 17-20 now. Spurs to win the game 4-0 could be a scoreline that stands out. A replica of what they produced against Huddersfield, and 4-0 is available at 11-1. But if you want in a lumpy bet here, it's got to be Spurs to win to nil, hasn't it? At 17-20.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it just everything points in that direction. Brighton, you know, without a goal in 6 games in all competition, and they didn't come close to scoring at the weekend against inferior opposition to Spurs. So how they're going to get on it against a much better Spurs side, I fear for them.
Let's talk about the other game tonight. Watford versus Southampton. Watford 5-4. The draw 12-5. Southampton 11-5. Plenty of hashtag trending your odds markets, or trending hashtag your odds markets, on the William Hill website and on the app. But if there's a bet that you like the look of, or you're thinking of a bet and you're thinking, how can I get involved, tweet at William Hill using the hashtag your odds, and the traders will try to price your bet up. Some of them that are trending are very interesting and strange. Gerard Deulofeu and Danny Ings both to score. Will Hughes and Mario Lemina both to be carded. Available at 100-1. That's trending at the moment. Both teams to score. Each team over 4 corners and each team over 1 card is currently available at 9-1. And you can see this being all action, or I can anyway. Watford beat Huddersfield 2-1 at the weekend. Southampton were beaten 2-1 by Newcastle. That was a real game of two halves, wasn't it, that one? We watched that one, and Newcastle dominated the first half. Southampton, the better of the two teams after the break. And at the end of the season, you're going to look at these two teams and think they've both been very successful this season. Since Ralf Hasenhüttl took over, he's had a serious impact, and Southampton have made serious gains. And Watford have still looking to be considered best of the rest in the Premier League this season.
Without a doubt. And I think Javi Gracia has to be right toward the top of the list for potential managers of the season, given that every year I think plenty of people look at the personnel at Watford, and this season was no different pre-season, and there are always more people who tip them for relegation than tip them to finish in and around the European places. I mean, even you look at a Watford squad now, a lot of those players just feel a little bit anonymous, particularly that back line.
Yeah.
I always think Watford and Huddersfield come into this bracket as well. If half of their starting 11 walked past me in the street, I wouldn't know who they are. They seem to have a lot of just, as I say, anonymous players, but they've done an incredibly good job.
They recruit this season. Well, Watford. They've got such a good... Not backroom staff, head of management. You can take, it's almost a plug and play system with manager.
Yeah.
They can get rid of a manager, bring another one in, and as long as they understand the hierarchy and the ethos of the club, it works out.
It has no right to work, that system, and yet it's been working for Watford successfully now for a number of seasons. Javi Gracia is the latest manager, and he arguably looks the most impressive of the bunch, and they've had some good managers previously and had some good results. So I've been immensely impressed with Watford all season and Javi Gracia. You mentioned you think this game will be all action. I completely agree with that, because for all Watford have been a very good side this year, they're obviously in pole position to finish seventh. They've got two bites of the European cherry, if you like. They could finish seventh and lose in the FA Cup final to Manchester City, or by beating Manchester City in the FA Cup final, they qualify for Europe regardless of their league finish. But for all that they are very good, they don't keep a great deal of clean sheets, Watford. Mm. They've conceded in 8 straight games now, which is the longest streak in the Premier League, even conceded to relegated Huddersfield at the course of the weekend. I was quite surprised that it's been that long since they kept a clean sheet. And they come up against the Southampton side, who've scored in their last 7 successive games and have scored goals against teams that you maybe would expect them to have struggled against. Scored against Spurs, obviously beat Spurs. Scored against Liverpool, scored against Manchester United. So this Southampton side have got goals in them. Hasenhüttl has added goals, I think, to Southampton. Has made them a threat going forward once again. So, you know, a team that don't keep clean sheets against a team that score reliably every week.
Yep.
Always makes you look towards the both teams to score market, which is 4-6 here. I think that's very fair. There's very often an opportunity, though, to get a little bit bigger if you want to play both teams to score over 2.5, which I think is a very viable option this week. That's 21-20, which I think is just absolutely fine for a bet this week. I kind of want to give Southampton a bit more of a squeak than the 90-minute prices suggest. It was interesting, I was having a conversation with somebody last week about which Premier League captain is the most important to their team, not in terms of how good they are as a player, but how good they are as a captain. And Troy Deeney for Watford, for me, fits the role. He seems to be almost the spokesman for the Watford team. He conducts every post-match interview, or seemingly the absolute bulk of them. Maybe that's why I don't know what any of the Watford players look like, because they never seem to speak to the media after the game. It's always Troy Deeney. You see when he's on the pitch, it's a real rallying cry from Deeney. I wouldn't quite say he's the glue that holds them together as such, but I think in terms of what he does as a captain, he does considerably more than other, because the modern day captain isn't quite what it was. I think that's the situation in the League Cup with Kepa for Chelsea, when Azpilicueta did nothing to try and aid the situation, and after the game sort of shrugged his shoulders and said it isn't my responsibility.
Yeah, that wouldn't have happened with Deeney, would it?
Absolutely not. So the fact that he's suspended is more of a negative for me than it already looks on paper. Obviously, he's a potent goal threat, which is a negative in itself. But the fact that he captains this side more than any other captain in the Premier League team makes it kind of a double whammy for me that he misses out. They beat Huddersfield at the weekend, but without Deeney, they were expected to. So I think it's a bit more of a negative than it already looks on paper. It looks an obvious negative, but I think it's worse, which makes me half want to chance Southampton here, but I won't.
Watford have been strong at home this season. 5 of their 6 home league defeats have come against sides currently in the top 6, which is phenomenal performing at home, really. And their only loss against the team outside the top 6 at home came against Bournemouth, where Bournemouth beat them 4-0. That was back in October. If you're looking for goal scorers, Gerard Deulofeu is he's going through a real purple patch, isn't he? He's been directly involved in 10 in his last 9 in all in his last 9 appearances for Watford in all competitions, scoring 8. So 8 in 10, and you're getting 17-10 for him to score any time.
Yeah, it's been an absolute career year, really, for Gerard Deulofeu. I was looking back, this is his best goal scoring season since the 2012-2013 campaign. That was with Barcelona B. And he's getting closer to the player that Barcelona thought they had on their hands some 5 or 6 years ago. Oddly, 9 of those 10 goal involvements have come away from home. But I think we can put that down to an anomaly. There doesn't seem an obvious reason why he would be better away from home than he is at home. So 17-10 any time, I think for him to continue his, as I say, it's been an absolute career year for him. But the bet for me would be both teams to score and over 2.5. Just one other consideration on this match, and this is a market I doubt I've ever really looked at with any great consideration previously. Both teams to score no draw is 6-4, which is an odd little market. But this has all the feelings of a 2-1, 3-1, 3-2 scoreline one way or another here.
Yeah.
So that may be of some interest, but it's a bet that you can only ever back with your gut because you can't really develop enough statistics to say both teams will score, but one team will definitely win. You can't eliminate the draw with that much confidence. But when I saw that, I thought, yeah, I could see this just being 2-1 either way. Because as I say, I give Southampton a little bit more of a squeak than the Layers do. But BTTS and over's the bet.
Yeah, that's 21-20. Both teams to score and over 2.5 goals in the match. Let's move on to the big one. Wednesday night, Manchester United versus Manchester City at Old Trafford. City chasing the title. Manchester United chasing a point at the moment. Manchester United are 6-1 to win the game. The draw 15-4. Manchester City are 4-9. This is the biggest prize Manchester United have been to win at home in over 25 years. According to William Hill's spokesman Joe Crilly, the prices for Wednesday's match are not just a reflection on how good Manchester City are, but an indictment of Manchester United's season. Not even against Bayern Munich under David Moyes were United this big a prize to win at Old Trafford. But are they big enough? That's the question. Enhanced odds here. City to win both halves was 23-10. It's been boosted to 11-4. If you fancy Manchester United to win but to score in both halves, that was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1. This could be it. This could be the title done and dusted after this match. Because if City, who are 4-7 to win the title, get 3 points here with 4 games left, without Liverpool faltering. They know they've probably got to pick up 12 points to win the title, but they've got Burnley away to come, Leicester at home, and an away trip to Brighton on the last day of the season. Admittedly, Brighton might still be scrapping for survival, but it'd be inconceivable for City not to go there and pick up 3 points. I think, believe Manchester City will think if they manage to win this game, the title is theirs.
It's been quite an incredible title race, really, because I can't remember a title race where neither team has blinked for so long.
It's 2 months since either of them dropped a point.
Which is absolutely incredible. Somebody else made a very good point on Twitter saying that this isn't actually the greatest title race we've ever seen because the great title races had drama and drop points and trading of blows, but it's been quite phenomenal from both Manchester City and Liverpool as well that they haven't dropped points, as you say, for nearly 2 months in the title race. I think Liverpool 100% win out for the rest of the season.
Okay.
And I think Manchester City will know that. I view that penultimate game against Leicester as a potential stumbling block for Manchester City. Really impressed with the way Brendan Rodgers has got them playing. Leicester could well be in with a squeak of finishing seventh, getting European football. I think that's, I wouldn't say it's a bigger stumbling block than Wednesday night's game, because it isn't. The derby is obviously going to be the toughest game that they've got left. But I think Liverpool are more assured to win the remainder of their games than Manchester City are at this moment in time. I think City will win the rest of their games as well, but I think they've got a slightly tougher run in. In terms of the Wednesday night match, although this is the main event midweek, I thought this was the hardest match to bet in by a country mile. It's clear that after the weekend, Solskjaer felt very, very let down by his players. Yep. After that defeat at the hands of Everton. We know that he cares more than the average manager would do, and it hurts him personally when Manchester United suffer a big defeat like that. Very interesting that Paul Pogba has come out this week and said that the performance was disgraceful and that the fans were disrespected, because that seems out of character for Pogba. So I thought that was quite interesting that he's come out and said it wasn't good enough at the weekend. So the players will be desperate for a response in this match, even if the Manchester United fans don't quite know how they want this this game to pan out, really. The general feeling amongst most Manchester United fans that I speak to is that Man City are the lesser of two evils.
Yeah,
and that
I think that's right.
Preferable for Manchester City to win the league rather than Liverpool.
But still, would they want to lose this game because of that? I don't know. I think they still want to beat Manchester City, even though that could hand the title to Liverpool.
I think before you start thinking about who would I rather win the league, I think you have to look at your own club first and foremost.
And there's still a possibility Manchester United
Champions
could finish
league.
Top
yeah,
four.
Exactly. So I think,
even though it's unlikely now.
Yes, and they are the the outsiders in that four horse race. But I think you have to look inwardly first of all and think it's important for Manchester United to finish in the Champions League places next year. So they should be going for this one, but it just seems a funny game to try and get my head around, because Manchester City were obviously involved in that wonderful Champions League game against Spurs a couple of weeks ago. That was played at the tempo of a basketball game early on. But they're equally adept at strangling the life out of teams. And they don't have to win games by scoring an absolute raft of goals, Manchester City.
Yep.
We know they have done, and they're on the cusp of breaking their own record for number of goals scored in all competitions in a season. But they're also very, very good at winning games by a lesser scoreline and managing games incredibly well. We arguably saw a little bit of that at the weekend against Spurs when winning 1-0. But the games that stand out in my mind for City doing that, the FA Cup semi-final victory against Brighton was indicative of that. They got an early goal and they just didn't allow Brighton to have a look in. They did very similar against Fulham and Cardiff, two sides that arguably, had City wanted to on a going day, could have absolutely hammered beyond sight. They didn't. They beat them 2-0, contained the game, looked after the players a little bit. Now, those games were arguably when they were still involved in the Champions League and thought, we've got a raft of fixtures to come through the end of the season. We need to look after players. But I think for all City are incredibly good going forward, there's no guarantee that this game is going to be played with all the cut and thrust of that Spurs game in the Champions League. And I think the value in this match is City to win with under 2.5 goals in the game. 7-2 could be a good price here. Yep. City are odds on to win and they're to be over 2.5 goals in the game in this market. But a 1-0 or a 2-0 win will be very much job done for Manchester City. And dare I say, it might even be viewed as a step back in the right direction for Manchester United fans, which is an incredible indictment of where they are at the moment, because a defeat to any side, never mind Manchester City, should never be viewed as a positive for Manchester United. But if they only lose this game 1-0 and they hang around with City and they restrict those top players, that will be a step back in the right direction for them after the weekend. So that would have to get the tentative pick for me in this game. Worth mentioning Sergio Aguero as well. He's the man for the Manchester derby. 8 goals in the Manchester derby is the joint most in this fixture with Wayne Rooney. No surprise to see he's 17-20 to score any time. But I could see Manchester City putting in a dominant controlling performance, but not one where they necessarily score loads of goals and play with a cavalier attitude. I think they win, but they win narrow.
As far as United are concerned, you can't really hold Ole Gunnar Solskjaer accountable for that performance against Everton. The players lacked any real desire, no fight in that team. Maybe it's time for them to cash in on their primary assets in the summer if they can do so. What I would say about this situation at Manchester United is that the board pandered to the fans, in my opinion, when appointing Solskjaer on a permanent basis. At the moment, they did so. Why not wait until the end of the season and gather more information about the manager and then make a more informed decision in the summer? It was a knee-jerk reaction to appoint Solskjaer after a handful of games, and I don't think he's the man for the job, and I've said that. I said that while he was putting together that unbelievable streak, which included the win against Paris Saint-Germain at the Parc des Princes, and I stand by it now. Why not wait until the end of the season, gather more information, and make a better decision?
I think this is indicative of the modern-day game full stop. There's just a huge, huge amount of recency bias all the time, and he obviously got the job based on a small number of results. Since then, I think they've won one game in 8 in all competitions. So me personally, I can't be too dogmatic one way or another, because we don't have the field size either way. Obviously, no, he was very successful to start with, but I wouldn't make it this. I wouldn't
but
say
he's,
after
he's
the
not
last
been successful 8 games. In his managerial career as a whole, has he?
I mean, it's a different kettle of fish, but he won league titles at Molde, which is all he could do there.
I
understand it's the Norwegian league, but you can't do any more than win it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a monumental step up from, you know, a Molde side who are part of, you know, two or three sides that have the financial capabilities to win in the Norwegian league. Well, I can only think of Rosenborg that would be any other side in that league. To go from that to Manchester United, and a Manchester United side that is weaker now than it has been over the past 10, 20 years. But for me, it's too early to say one way or another. He obviously needs a summer. He needs investment. There's a raft of Manchester United players that are clearly not in his plans, may not be there next year. And I think that showed against Everton over the weekend. I think there were a lot of players that, you know, Solskjaer knows it, the fans know it, but the players must know it as well. You know, for all they're criticised. They're not as stupid as some people make out football players. There must be loads of those players that know they don't have a future at Manchester United. And I thought that came out at the weekend. But that doesn't mean I don't think they won't be keen for a reaction on Wednesday.
This is the Golden Goal match as well here with William Hill. So if you have a bet on the outright market and if your team scores first, you win no matter what the result. Do check out the terms and conditions on the William Hill website for more. Manchester United 6-1, the draw 15-4, City 4-9. And Sam's bet there is City to win and under 2.5 goals, which is a good bet, I think, at 7-2. Let's move on to the action at Molineux. Wolves versus Arsenal is another game on Wednesday night, and not televised this one. Wolves 15-8, the draw 12-5, Arsenal 29-20. So not much between the two teams as far as the betting is concerned. Wolves to score in both halves was 11-4. That's been enhanced to 7-2. And if you fancy Raul Jimenez and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang both to score, that was 4-1. That's been boosted out to 6-1. They've never beaten Arsenal in the Premier League. Wolves, a stat I'm sure you're aware of, Sam Norris being a big Wolves fan. They might fancy the chances in this one, though, given that Arsenal were beaten by Crystal Palace on Sunday. And they may be more focused on winning the Europa League now, given that Unai Emery has such an impressive record in that particular competition. And Wolves have already beaten Chelsea, Manchester United and Spurs this season, something which I'm also sure you're very aware of, Sam.
Don't forget Liverpool in the Cup as well, though.
I forgot to mention that.
It wasn't in the Premier League. But this is one of those games where I look at the prices of all three potential outcomes in 90 minutes, and you could argue a case for all of them, think it's very competitively priced. Big chance for Arsenal to move back into the top four, but as you correctly predict, it's arguably easier to win the Europa League from this point. Maybe not easier, but that's certainly a very viable way back into the Champions League next season. Much has been made, of course, about how well Wolves play against the top six sides in the division this year. It hasn't been missed by anyone. Arsenal will be very wary of that, and they should be wary of that as well, because they really should have lost to Wolves in the reverse fixture. Henrik Mkhitaryan fluked a cross into the net in the 86th minute to get a draw at the Emirates. That was a game that Wolves had chances to be 2-0 up, really, prior to that Mkhitaryan goal. So they won't be under any illusions what a tough game Wolves can be, particularly at home. They're 6 unbeaten at Molineux, and this should provide a fairly stern test. I'm interested in what the mindset of the Wolves players is going to be coming into this match, just because it's been a rollercoaster of emotions for them over the last few weeks. It was a very frustrating 90 minutes against another bottom six side for Wolves at the weekend. For all they've been great against the top six sides, plenty has been made about their struggles against the bottom six in the division as well. Had well over 20 shots against Brighton, hit the woodwork a couple of times but couldn't score. For one reason or another, it just hasn't happened enough for Wolves against these sides playing at the bottom of the division. And obviously, there'll be a huge level of frustration after that game, because they lost ground in the race for seventh, which they're still firmly involved in. With Leicester picking up a point, Everton and Watford collecting maximum points.
Yeah,
they lose a bit of ground there. The week before that, I think they were clearly still hurting in the defeat at the hands of Southampton, after the agony, of course, of the FA Cup semi-final defeat at the hands of Watford. So it's been an interesting few weeks for Wolves players, but I think that the key emotion after the weekend will be frustration.
How do you feel about it as a fan then, Sam?
I think it's still been an incredibly positive season.
Yeah.
You know, for all the obvious advantages of how wealthy the owners are, the Jorge Mendes connection, the influx of Portuguese players, the breaking of the transfer fee three times over, or whatever it's been over the last 18 months, still a newly promoted side, and they're banging the mix for seventh place, first FA Cup semi-final for over 20 years. Been a successful season for Wolves, regardless.
I think the players will feel like that, though, as well.
Definitely.
I think they'll still want to perform against Arsenal. I don't think they'll be... I don't think they'll have checked out yet, anyway.
No, and the fact that they continue to huff and puff and try and blow Brighton's door down at the weekend was evidence of that. And it was a much better performance than the lacklustre one that we saw against Southampton the week before. And this is arguably a better chance for Wolves to score goals against Arsenal in a way. They're obviously a better side than Brighton. But as we know, the way the top sides play suits Wolves' counter-attacking style. And Christian Benteke had gone nearly a full year without scoring a goal. And all it took was a match-up against Chokran Mustafi at the weekend to end his duck. So you fear for Mustafi if he's matched up against, say, Raul Jimenez, who's had an infinitely better season than Christian Benteke. His partnership with Diogo Jota has really flourished throughout the course of the year. 19 goals for club and country this season for Jimenez. And if Mustafi starts again, I mean, he looks an absolute liability, or has done over the last few weeks for Arsenal, and did once again at the weekend. I think they definitely score here, Wolves. I think whatever outcome you think will happen in this match, and as I said right at the top of the piece, I think all three 90-minute prices are pretty decent. But I would add both teams to score to whatever your prediction is for this match.
Yeah.
Whether you think Wolves will win, Arsenal win, or you think it's a draw, I'd go bigger and play whatever your thoughts are, plus BTTS. I'm just going to go for an Arsenal win. It's 7-2 that they win and both teams to score, which I think is fairly big. I just don't think they're spurning this opportunity to move back into the top four. They have got the Europa League to focus on. But it's a very, very tight game in terms of the 90 minutes. But I think both teams to score is what you build your bet around here.
Just to put the likelihood of a Champions League place coming the way via top four or via the Europa League, the 9-4 to win the Europa League, the 4-7 to finish in the top four, Arsenal, I think they blow it here. I'm going with Wolves.
Really?
I think Wolves win this match, yeah. 15-8, I like the look of that. But you can make a compelling case either way.
You can. And for the draw as well, because I think the draw is a huge runner here. That's evidenced by the fact that it's a good deal shorter than what the average draw would be. 12-5, you know, you'd often get a little bit of a bigger prize about the draw. But I think that's justifiable because it's a huge runner in here. And if someone made a good argument for a draw, I'd be, you know, I wouldn't discount that.
Best bet?
The best bet for me is Spurs to win 2-0. It's not an outstanding price. Yeah, 17-20, but it's hard to envisage how that doesn't happen this week.
Check out all the betting on the William Hill website and on the app, sports.williamhill.com. And we will be back for the weekend podcast on Thursday. And David McGovern will be alongside a guest from the FWA. And we'll speak again then. Good luck with all your bets. And check out all the markets at William Hill and have a fantastic midweek in the Premier League.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.